here today to talk to you about Holland America Cruise Lines and the transatlantic cruise that we just took in May from Florida to Copenhagen.
On the Zuiderdam.
The Zuiderdam.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how you say it.
I think so.
Okay.
That's how I'm saying it.
So,
might be offending Dutch people, but
if you saw our last video, you'll know that our original plan was not to be with Holland America, but with Royal Caribbean, and they had an accident. So, last minute, we had to change our plans, and we luckily found Holland America had some room, and so it was our first time aboard.
Right. So we, in the last video, which you can watch, we kind of talked more about the change in cruise itinerary in more detail. So this video, we'll talk about the cruise itself and what our experience with Holland America was like, because this is our first time doing it.
Yeah,
being on them.
It was very nice. The average age, we'll start with that, because that really did affect the entertainment and so forth.
It sets the tone. So you get a perspective, because everything is catered around, obviously, the demographic of the people on the boat.
Right, right. So Holland America, at least on our particular cruise, the average age was 69 and a half, they told us.
That half is really, that's what gets you.
So that meant that our son was traveling with us, and he's 14. And I think there were two other teenagers on board, and they never actually even met.
Correct.
But yeah, and we felt quite young.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, actually, for a change.
Sprightly.
Anyhow, so we'll start talking maybe about the entertainment.
Yeah.
And my favorite place was the BB King's. They call it a blues bar.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it's like a full club with like kind of terrace or seating around the outside and like comfy booths.
And a dance floor.
And a dance floor in the middle, and then there was some seating. Like, it was terrace. There was, like, two levels of booze, right?
Right.
And then, yes, the dance floor for dancing for those that like to partake.
Right. Anyhow, it was really nice. They did shows pretty much every night, and they did three different sessions. So one of them was, like, while we were at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the only, like, problem, I mean, they were very... very good. The
they were really good.
Yeah,
really good.
Quite impressive.
And the set time, they had a pianist, two singers, male and female, a saxophonist / flutist. Did you play flute?
Flautist.
And a trumpet player, and guitar and bass and drums. So it was a full ensemble.
It was very good.
It was, and they were good. They were all very talented.
The only complaint that I would have was that maybe they, you know, you tended to hear some of the same songs repeated a lot, but that was because, again, they were doing three shows a night, and we were on a very long cruise. The cruise was how long? 16 days.
16 days. So at the Q&A, they addressed a little bit that, you know, their songbook is, the songs they play are generally on the long side, right, to begin with, so, and they are actively trying to learn new songs, but I think this... I forget how long they had been together, but it wasn't all that long, this particular group of people. It was several weeks or thereabout, so they were still adding new repertoire to their performance. So I think just 16 days, three nights, or three times a night. I think they were off one night every 7 days. You are going to start hearing the same thing. And because it's a big ensemble, it's not really set up for requests either. You know, they either know the song as a group or they don't.
Yeah, but they were, all being said, they were very good. And that was one of the places that we spent quite a bit of our time in the evenings for entertainment.
Yeah, if you like blues, jazz, and kind of live music with brass, they were really good. Really good.
Now, the other thing happening at the same time were dueling pianos. But I will say that the dueling pianos on Holland America line were a lot different than the ones that we've experienced on other cruise lines. They weren't quite as raucous, I guess. But again, I think it had to do with the clientele.
They were catering to the demographic. Yeah.
Right. So it was a lot of older songs. They did do some sing-alongs, which was sweet.
And they were kind of classic sing-alongs.
Yeah.
You know, like Caroline and
yeah,
things
Sweet
that
Caroline,
everybody would know.
Yeah.
And they were good. I mean, they were good piano players, and they were good singers, one better than the other, I would say, since we're not naming names because I don't remember.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Yeah, they were good and they were entertaining, but again, the music skewed towards, you know, classics.
Yeah.
And their version of classics was going to be like 50s through 70s primarily.
Yeah, they did touch into the 70s, but it was, yeah.
Yeah, so it was good, but, you know, it wasn't that kind of more lively, you know, alcohol flowing and kind of lots of requests. And they did take requests, but they, you know, like any dueling piano, the requests pile up quicker than they can play them. And what you found was that the requests they took would, again, skew towards the audience. And we had to talk about it a couple times with the players, and again, it's just about the demographic. So it wasn't that it wasn't fun or anything like that.
No, it was very nice.
But it was different. So, you know, just go in knowing what you're going to get. It was still a relaxing place.
It was relaxing. And yeah, and if you wanted, like, the more upbeat dancing and all that, you would definitely just go down the hall to BB King's, which was interesting because they were both really, like, loud in their own right, but
it's not even a minute walk between the
and
two.
And you didn't hear the other. Like, it was really
completely
interesting.
Completely sound separation. So, yeah. So to be clear, you can go have a lively good time at BB King's, and still the dueling piano is just not going to compete with the liveliness. It was more relaxed dueling piano. So the dueling part, they weren't really duking it out. Like, the dueling was, was missing.
No, not much of a duel.
No.
The other things that they had on board for entertainment was they did have, of course, a nightly show on the stage, which was a mix of comedians and magician. They had a magician. And some of the shows were really good.
Yeah.
And others were not as good. So kind of what you get on any cruise line, really, you know, you just...
Yeah, this one was, it was an odd mix.
I think part of it was the comedians that they had on board, one of them anyway, just really wasn't a good fit for the audience.
No, it was, I would say, a lot of kind of politically incorrect
humor. Well, and younger humor.
And younger,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
so it wasn't, Crasser, it was definitely, he wasn't getting the laughs, which then kind of makes the whole thing derail a bit. And then he was kind of doing the, is this on type of stuff, you know, but it was really clear.
And then he would randomly throw in a song.
Right. It was really clear that the audience was not reacting well to his material. I think they were more offended than they were humor.
Yeah.
So again, it was an odd mix. And the magician was, well, it wasn't very good. I mean,
no, he was like kind of what you would expect to see, maybe like a magician that would go to a junior high to entertain the kids or something. Like,
yeah,
very old school, like.
Yeah, and I love magicians and magic shows, and it, you know, it's not like you wanted to walk out or anything like that. But it was kind of like if you had seen all these tricks a zillion times, and you probably knew what was happening to make them happen. So it was a show, you know, but it wasn't one where you were thinking, oh my gosh, how did they do that?
Right.
By any means.
Right.
So
there weren't any real big productions, you know, like on other cruise lines where you'll see like Cats or, you know, the Disney cruise lines, they have all these amazing Disney kind of things. It wasn't like that.
No. But there was good entertainment. I mean, we went every night.
Yeah. We did leave like a couple times. Some of the singers weren't.
Right. So they had, you know, they did a couple different, we called it a cappella groups.
Mm-hmm.
So they had female and male. There were two different ones. And you always wonder how some of these groups come together, because clearly some of the singers are better than others in the group.
Yeah.
And so when they try to harmonize and they don't, it really kind of hurts your ears a bit. And then some will start to sing kind of rotation through them, and you'll be like, oh, that guy can really sing, and then followed by someone who really can't. There was a couple we did leave early,
because
it just wasn't that good.
Other entertainment was also, there was other entertainment on board. What they had, the Lincoln Center Stage, which was actually pretty amazing group of
super amazing
of young adults that were, weren't they like from Juilliard and places that were?
They're from all over the world, but they all associate with the Lincoln Center Stage, the Lincoln Center.
Right.
So they all interview at different parts around the globe, and then they're all put together, kind of like a lot of the way these cruise things are done. And they have several weeks before getting on the boat, and then they are rehearsing as a group. And the Lincoln Center kind of gives them a music book of things they need to learn for the cruise. And they were all super talented.
So talented.
So if you, you know, I like classical music a lot, but, you know, the first time I saw them was day three or four, I kind of stumbled into it because they would often play one of their sets around the early dinner. And so I was just walking, you know, down there probably to look at the menu, and then was quickly, they have their own performance area. It's a small stage, but definitely worth checking them out.
Yeah, and it was more in the, like, they did do one at dinner, but wasn't it more kind of midday stuff too?
Yeah, they also did stuff in the afternoon, and then towards the end of our cruise, they did one with in conjunction with BBC Earth, where they orchestrated the movie, and that was also impressive. That was cool.
Yeah, and the other thing that actually, another aspect of the entertainment, which I really loved about Holland America Line, Cruise Line, was that they had a BBC Earth series available in their screening room, and they also had a biologist on board that would give talks on the main stage throughout, you know, during the day. He did talks about, you know, what kind of bird life we would be seeing out at sea.
And
dolphins.
That was interesting because my son and I went to a couple of the whale talks, and you know we did end up seeing whales several different days, and so we went and asked the guy what whale did we saw, and he wanted us to describe like what the spout shape was like.
Yes.
And you know, things that clearly I didn't remember. I just saw a whale. that was exciting, but
it was
I didn't
cool.
remember the shape of the spout.
We did learn a lot, and I always like whenever we're traveling around, you know, taking our son to these things so that you also feel like it's not just all fun, but you're, I mean, it's fun education,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And speaking of education, another thing that they do on board is the Microsoft...
I don't know what they call it, the Microsoft Learning Center, something along those lines. So they had another room that, you know, it's got the Microsoft logo on it, and they did classes typically a few times a day, I think most days. And it was they had kind of very much introductory to, I'd say, you know, leaning towards medium level of difficulty. So it started with things as simple as how to use your email or how to use Internet Explorer or how to use Office apps. But, you know, if you're wanting to learn how to do some of those things,
it was just a nice kind of added thing that they had.
Yeah, and the instructor was very... I poked in just so I could talk about it and sat in there for 15, 20 minutes. And it was definitely entry-level stuff, but she had a very captive audience, and she was very knowledgeable and seemed to do a really good job. And it's hands-on, so there are Microsoft Surface laptops at every spot where they have you sit, so you don't have to bring anything. They've got computers there. And they walk you through everything. So
yeah, and speaking of other educational opportunities, one thing that I really loved about Holland America Lines, which we have never before, maybe actually I take that back, Disney did do it, but Caribbean and Norwegian, normally if you go to one of these port talks, they kind of just tell you what shopping there is, and it's
right.
always...
They give you like a discount... coupons, and
you know, you go into Diamonds International and get your free charm,
right.
or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it's always about the shopping.
What's the t-shirt place?
The t-shirt place where the, you know, changes in the sun.
Yeah,
yeah, you know,
yeah.
Del Sol, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so all these cruise ports, a lot of them have similar stores.
They're all the same.
So what was nice about Holland America Line, though, is when they gave a port talk, they actually gave you some history about the area, and they told
right.
you about different... not just excursions, but things that you might not want to miss and why, because they really kind of, you know, taught you a little bit about where you were going.
Yes.
And they did it.
And they gave you all the local transportation options so you could kind of get around on your own. So it was interesting because the port guide or the port talk person was different than the Explorer's desk, which is their excursions desk. And so everything wasn't a sell into the other. Like if you wanted to know how to get somewhere, they didn't try to push you into a tour from the boat. They would just tell you, you can take tram number 2 at this time, and here's where you would get off. And she would give you notes or print things out. It was super helpful.
And they did this all up on the very top deck.
Yeah, I think they called it the Explorer's
Lounge.
The
Explorer's Lounge / Cafe, which was also where you could go up and get your specialty coffees and so forth. And it was a really nice area where you can sit. They have board games and puzzles and so forth up there. And, you know, it's all windows with really comfortable seating, so you can watch, you know, from the front of the ship looking out. And that was where they gave these port talks. But they also had people on hand to answer any questions And they had those cool interactive
big
maps,
tables.
Like surface tables, yeah, where you could like just look at everything, like where you were going.
Right, so you could pick on any stop, and then they would have all the tours, as well as just general information and what was around you. So they did the port talk in the main theater in the morning, and then they would redo it in the evenings.
I only made it to the
up there. Yeah, some of us were sleeping in the morning one, apparently.
Or maybe at the gym.
Right. So they had both, because they were the person giving the talks was very popular. And as we got closer to, because transatlantic, I think people started to get the tours were selling out. So then I think she became more popular as people needed to arrange their own, you know, transportation and where they were going in the ports. And like I said, she was super helpful. She recommended tours that were outside the boat. That was, I've never seen that before. Normally everything's kind of a sales pitch.
Right. So other entertainment things on board that they have were bingo, which was actually, yes. I love bingo. And I will say that Holland America Cruise Line was a pleasant surprise, because it wasn't as expensive as the other bingos that we've played. I mean, it was still, you know, adds up when you're wanting to play every day.
Right.
I think it was the lowest amount was, what, 15? I think you could play for 15, which
isn't cheap. No. But when you compare it to, I think, you know, on the last Norwegian cruise, it's like we were paying $25, $30 just to play.
Oh, that was for like the base.
Yeah, and that was for one little thing.
It was,
you know, bingo has gotten to be a little bit on the pricey side, but it is fun. And I will say the upside of this bingo is not near as many people played. So your odds of winning were better. And we did win once.
The very first day. Right. So that kind of kept me going. And
right.
Never
so we won once, which then helped offset the future bingo losses. And you do get the cheapest souvenir on the ship. If you buy the dabber, is that what it's called?
Oh, they have a little dauber for $2.
Right. So it's, you know, the thing that's got the ink on the end to mark your bingo card, but it's all...
And I had never had one of those before. I felt like a professional.
No, but it's logoed, right? So it's got the Holland America and all that. So it was like $3. So
there was the cheapest
souvenir you can get.
The other thing that we really enjoy doing on every cruise, although some cruises, you know, they do it in really loud areas or whatever, is trivia. We are trivia. I mean, we set alarms to get there for the 9:30 in the morning trivia.
We like knowing how dumb we are. I'm just trying to think of a better way to say that.
No. So the thing was, we did feel this on Holland America, again, they catered towards their audience. So there were a lot of questions that were for people, you know, of a different, I don't know, like the questions about like actors and stuff, like, you know, they weren't necessarily people that we'd always heard of.
No, they were generally from like movies from the 50s and 60s. And I mean, so again, it was catering to the audience. So, I mean, but we did feel dumber, even dumber than usual. but on the upside, I also think, well, of course, I probably wouldn't know that stuff because it's not in any of my pop culture upbringing.
And the problem was they would do, like, we really enjoy trivias where they show you, like, a picture, like, say, of a landmark somewhere in the world and you have to name it.
Right.
Or pictures of, like, celebrities when they were kids and who was this? Or, you know, like, we like things like that. We like music trivia. And they did have a few of those, to be clear. But those were always at the 8 o'clock time slot, which happened to be during our dinner time slot. So every once in a while we would skip dinner in the main dining room and so we could go to one of these, you know, other games or trivias. But on the whole, we didn't really make it to the 8 o'clock ones.
No, we just went to a few. And again, like, we thought we were gonna be ringers when it came time to like celebrity, you know, photos, but they were all against celebrities that were not from, you know,
it was just difficult for us, but it was still fun. Don't get us wrong. We made friends.
No, it was, we had a good time. It just, we didn't do as well as we thought we were going to do.
We did win once though. Once we won. Were you there?
It? Yeah. I was there. I think I was probably team captain.
I don't think you were there. and then, they do, you know, on a lot of cruise lines, they'll do like these really fun games and stuff at night that get kind of crazy. But, they only did a couple things like around the 10 o'clock time frame over the whole period of over 2 weeks that we were on board. And they were fun. I mean, the cruise director and the assistant cruise director were both great. And we really liked them. Very personable and funny.
Which also was different than normal, is the cruise staff was basically two people.
Yeah.
And normally you're used to a cruise director and then more assistant cruise directors or whatever you...
Right, even on the smaller ships, which this is a smaller ship.
Right.
I think it holds how many?
I don't know.
like say 3,000. I mean, it wasn't once, not one of
not
even,
close to that.
Okay, well, it's not like the large. We were supposed to be on the Oasis of Seas.
I would guess really 1,800.
Okay,
I'll overlay the right answer.
Okay. Anyways, so the people that ran it and all that were really good and fun. Now, the other thing is if you do go on Holland America Line, they do have kids clubs and teen clubs, you mm-hmm. know, like the other lines. And our son did go up and check it out, but there were no other kids.
He was the only one there, so it was a bit, you know, he might as well go sit anywhere else because there was nothing in the club.
Not really. We asked him, actually, you know, what we should share with you about the teen club. And he said that the problem was in the teen club, there were, like, some like, really old,
they had like
PlayStation or something.
They had, like, an Xbox 360.
Outdated.
Super
stuff.
Outdated. And then they said that they had gotten new Xbox Ones for the little kids section, but none for the teen club.
No, so all the little kids, they had all these nice, like, computers that the older kids, you know, you're not allowed to go into the little kids section. So it just seemed kind of like backwards. Or
yeah,
something.
Like the you would put the latest things for video games in the teen section, not in the little, or just do both.
Right.
And I guess they had actually spoken to corporate about trying to divvy them up, and were told they could not. So
yeah.
they tried to solve the problem pre us. This has nothing to do with us. This is a common complaint. But apparently the corporate office has decided that the teens shouldn't have any consoles.
Anyhow, so moving on to my favorite part, food.
Oh yeah, which so let's finish the entertainment as it relates to food.
Oh, I thought we did. Oh, there was one more entertainment thing.
So in the same venue, at least on our ship, where the BB King's is also where they do America's Test Kitchen, which I love watching cooking shows. I'm quite the addict. So this was great for me. And if you read their, you know, they have a website, you know, a video channel on YouTube, as well as a magazine, which is what they're more known for. It was really great. And the person who was the, I don't know if you call it host/chef. Yeah. I don't know if it's always the same, but he does come from a culinary background. He's on an entertainment background. So he, you know, is a chef, or at least went through cooking school, then went to the America's Test Kitchen to train. And then they have kind of set, for the cruise, they have a set of different recipes they're going to cover, and they actually have a full kitchen in there, and they make them in front of you on camera, and then you get kind of a recipe card.
But you didn't get to taste it, right?
No, that was the downside, is there was just kind of, you got to see it being made, but they're, you know, like Disney, when they do kind of a cooking demonstration. It's a different aim, though, and like this was definitely much more detail with a lot of tips. Like this felt like after you watched it, you could go home and do it. Well, in Disney, it was a little bit more like of a show, and then you got to eat and drink, you know, so.
Our dog is walking up, and she's very old, and she's breathing heavily.
Anyway, so if you like cooking, the America's Test Kitchen thing was awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
I went every chance that I could go.
Yes. So, moving on to food. We were very impressed with the food on Holland America Line,
yeah.
Especially compared to our last transatlantic that we did this past fall with Norwegian, where the food was just horrible. It was horrible.
It was very bad. And we've done quite a few Norwegian cruises, and you know, normally I kind of equate the main dining food on Norwegian to being almost like cafeteria fare. It's nothing horrible. But it's generally not great. It's often cold. But the specialty restaurants stand out as normally being very good. On our last cruise,
even the specialty restaurants were bad.
It was
so, but we're not
bad.
Here to talk about.
No,
Norwegian.
It was all bad.
Anyways, but it was maybe that was partly though why we really appreciated the food on Holland America, because not only was it really good, but they didn't run out. You know, on our last transatlantic, they seemed to run out of things like halfway through the cruise. So that was part of what was so disappointing
like,
then.
Like basic things.
Too. Yeah, basic things on the breakfast, you know, buffet and so forth. But no, the food was all really good. In fact, they have two specialty restaurants on board the Zuiderdam. And we were finding the food so good in the main dining room, because normally we're all about trying the specialty restaurants because we love food.
Like food.
We
yeah.
love food. But it was just so good. And, you know, you would see what the menu was going to be for that night every day. And we'd think, oh, maybe tonight's the night we're going to go try a specialty restaurant. But it always looked so good, you know, the food on the menu, that we didn't end up actually trying one of the specialty restaurants. So one of the last few days, we went for lunch to, what is it called? The
Pinnacle Grill.
Pinnacle Grill. And everyone was raving about how good the food was, and it was only a $10 surcharge. And so we did try it, and it was very good. But
it was super good. But the main dining food was so good.
Right. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was like a little higher quality as far as presentation. I don't know. But the problem was, by the time we finally tried it, we had been on the boat for almost, you know, for 2 weeks, basically. Yeah. And so we were already in that kind full.
Yeah, we didn't need any more food. But we felt we wanted to try it, and it wasn't a big upcharge. And I would say, you know, I don't know if it was worth it in the sense of, like, I mean, I do think it was slightly better, but at the same token, the main food was just so good that you never went to dinner and thought, I would pay for something nicer.
No. There were a few, like, bad dishes, but very few. I mean, and the other thing, it kind of became a joke between us and our friends that we were traveling with, that that we were complaining about, or me and one of our friends were complaining about, I was complaining about, was that there was no salted butter on board. I know this sounds crazy, but, they bring you the rolls, and they're, like, all these nice, like, different types and so forth, and then you spread the butter on it, and there was, like, no flavor. So we asked about that, and...
You could probably take a little salt and sprinkle
okay.
it on.
It was just, I mean, that's so now, how good now, the food is that I have to complain about, the fact that there's no salted butter.
Is salted butter not present on cruise ships in general? Like,
I feel like it is. I feel like normally, if you get bread and butter, it's salted. But anyways, but the reason I'm talking about that is because really, on whole, it was really good.
Everything was very, very good.
And they even had a restaurant that was open by the pool that was like a grill, and it served burgers and hot dogs and French fries. And oh my gosh, I only allowed myself to get the French fries one time because I could have gone there every day. They were, like, so crispy. They were, like, some of the best French fries I've ever... Yeah, the dive-in grill.
Yeah.
And they were some of the best French fries I've ever had, and their burgers were amazing, like, kind of gourmet, not just, you know, basic.
Yeah, no,
that was good, too.
And the burgers and hot dogs were also good. I mean, it was... hot dogs and burgers.
I didn't try the hot dogs. But I will say another standout on our trip was the ice cream. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times ice cream is just kind of like, it's nothing spectacular unless you, like, put all the toppings on it or something. But their ice cream, I don't know where Holland America gets their ice cream, but two thumbs up. It was so good.
It was a daily stop.
And our friends, definitely loved it too. And we're going, you know, for second desserts. You know, at 10:30, they would open up the buffet.
Yeah, they did a nighttime buffet, which was pretty cool. So they normally have several hot entrees you could choose from, as well as then the ice cream and some desserts were also open again at night. So even though we were always full, we often found ourselves just seeing what was at the night buffet, thinking there's no way I could eat it, and then we'd still end up pecking at some food.
You have to be careful. I found that it's best just not to go with everyone at 10:30 to go check out the buffet, because... you're going to be tempted. I mean, there's no... That being said, there is a gym on board, like other cruise ships. It was a nice gym, so you can go exercise every day and then not feel so bad about eating. You can walk around the top of the ship.
Right.
So there are... or swim. Let's see. What else did we need to say about food? I feel like we might have...
Oh, happy hour.
So now we can move on to drinks. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite topics, the drinks.
Yes.
And one thing that we found on Holland America Line that we'd never found with any other cruise line was they had a really good happy hour deal. You know, cruise lines tend to really just jack the prices up so high on drinks, and it's just so ridiculous. And we never buy the drink package because neither one of us drink enough to make it worth it. I mean, it's just way too much alcohol.
For us.
Yeah. So
I would say, but first, the drinks on, like, normally they're not overpriced to begin with.
No,
they
like
range from like $7 to $10, right?
$10 was on the high side. Like, right. You could get like a lemon drop or some kind of, you know, foo-foo drink for around, you know, $6.90. I think it was $6.95.
Right. So if you're used to like just being in a city and going to a bar, this is not. I mean, which is
it's
not
better
cheap.
Than
right.
Some
yeah, this is better than like if you're going to like New York or LA or something. This is not. It's not a high seas robbery like it often is. And then you, for the happy hour, which you were saying.
But for the
about,
happy hour, which was great because they didn't just do it like in random times when you might not want to be drinking or something.
Right,
but
it wasn't
they would
a noon happy hour.
No, they would do several starting at around 4 o'clock. It was either 4 or 4:30. And then they did one around like 8 or 9. And then they did another one around 10:30.
I think it
like
was
when
like,
you'd want to be drinking a drink anyway.
There was plenty of opportunity and it was...
And they would rotate the bars. So you know, right. like the 4 o'clock happy hour is at this bar. And it was a nice bar and they had a piano player and all that. And then, you know, so you knew kind of each where each one was going to be.
Oh, and they brought along like at the 4 o'clock one, they brought out little snacks.
Oh, yeah. They brought you like a little appetizer tray. It was very nice instead of just like nuts or whatever. And so what the deal was is you would buy one drink and then you'd get the second one for $2. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty nice.
It's a good bargain, especially because I normally typically just have a couple drinks for the whole to the night. So I could just kind of have one at happy hour and it would be kind of
cheap. And the same goes for me. And then our son, he really enjoys smoothies and, you know, milkshakes. And so we found that like we could get him like a mudslide, like a virgin mudslide or whatever.
Right.
And
so we could kind of leverage the happy hour for him as well.
Right.
So it worked out.
Those aren't normally cheap, you know, either. It adds up if, you know, you're getting one every day.
Yeah.
So
So for drinking, I think they definitely kind of win a lot over the other experiences. As far as if you're getting a drink package, then you know it's hard to say there, because for us that's always the peace of mind of the drink package is very nice. The never
then you have to think about I'm spending more money.
Right, it's just paid for. But on the flip side, if you don't drink, you know, most drink packages you've got to be pushing at least 5 and normally more like 8 or 9 depending on the cruise line just to break even, and I just can't drink that much.
No, I would feel sick. But for people that do drink a lot, I mean, I guess it's a good deal.
Right. So, but just know if you are going for the cash bar option, if you can wait to start your drinking until 4, that's quite the bargain. And then they did have especially coffee places you mentioned. Do you remember what those ran price wise?
They were pretty typical, like, you know, latte prices. Probably they were pretty expensive. I would say I would typically get a latte with one pump of vanilla, and that would be about $5.95.
Okay.
So pretty.
And you could add alcohol as well, because I also got coffee in the morning, but I had them add, you know, Baileys and things like that.
This after he just says how he doesn't like to drink that much.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up this video, we should mention to you also what we kind of thought about the boat overall, like the look of it. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. It had like
I didn't like the smokestack placement.
Oh, shut up. He's joking. No. So it had like an old school vibe, and it was due to go into refurbishment, like, right?
No.
I'm thinking of the one that we were supposed to be on. Right, sorry. No, they had an old school environment. It was really nice, like kind of
made
you... What
is an old school environment?
Well, you know what I mean? Like an old school, if you go to like one of the old steakhouses in Vegas, like with the high, you know what I mean? It kind of had that vibe. You know what I mean? Like
classic cruising.
Classic cruising. Yeah, like they had the one bar that we really liked where they did trivia quite often was called The Library. And wasn't it called The Library?
I don't know.
Darn it. Sorry. But it had like really cool artwork, like all kinds of different stuff. And it just felt cozy, like you were in a big den. You know, and overall the boat was just really pretty. It was nice.
Yeah, no, it was
vibe.
Very nice. It was well maintained and the size I thought was perfect. I think what we've learned thus far is that we like that, well, what's now considered a small cruise ship.
Right.
But it's not in overall sense. But to be fair, we didn't get to go on the Oasis class, so we can't compare. Our next cruise will be on a Quantum class, so now we will be going big. And we'll get it. We have done like the Escape, mm-hmm. so the Epic, the Norwegian large ships, and we did not care for the size.
No, we tend to like the what I guess what they call mid-sized ships. But coming up in October, we are going to be doing a Trans-Pacific cruise, our first one, and that is going to be on a Royal Caribbean boat, and it's going to be very large.
Yeah.
We'll briefly just mention the ports of call that we went to during this trip, but we will do subsequent videos that will cover kind of each port, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or at least one video that just
covers all of them.
Covers the ports in its own short video.
So although it was a 16-day cruise, you know, a lot of that, there were a lot of sea days, which we love. Mm-hmm. But the first stop was out of Florida. We left out of Fort Lauderdale. We stopped in Bermuda, and we'll talk about that on our visit there. And then we crossed over, and our first stop in Europe was kind of halfway over in the Azores, which is part of Portugal. That was very nice. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we went over to France, and we stopped in Normandy. And then we went up to Brussels, and we went into Burgess. And then Amsterdam, and then it was kind of back-to-back ports right. at the end there.
Yeah.
And then we ended the trip in Copenhagen before flying home here to Portugal.
Yeah.
And it was really fun, and we will fill you in on what we did in those ports in case you're interested in checking any of those out yourself or have a cruise coming up that is going to be stopping at any of those ports. So other than that, I think that's it for Holland America. I say we give it 2 thumbs up.
Oh, it was Siskel and Ebert over here.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really nice group of people, nice size.
It was overall a very good experience.
Overall good experience.
Yeah, I would definitely go again.
Yes. All right, so signing off for now. Thanks. Oh, and don't forget to hit subscribe if you found this at all interesting. All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.